Welcome to another edition of the Type 1 Radio Lounge News Bong with myself, Sonic. I am joined here presently by Swami. Good day, Swami.
Namaste and blessings. The Swami welcomes you with great love and great respect from the heart of all.
And we will be joined very shortly by our co-hosts, Fi and Steve. And if Risa gets the message, possibly him too, because I think he's not working today, so hopefully he can join us. Literally before we came on air, we started to discuss the current Assange affair. So let's just kick off with that one.
That's getting a lot of play around the internet web this week.
So we know that Hillary Clinton and the Clinton Foundation have got a massive beef with Julian Assange, and possibly they're responsible for the extradition order to the States from Sweden. So it's currently looking at extradition from the UK to Sweden and then passed straight to America on espionage charge. So this week, his internet apparently went out. So the Ecuadorian embassy internet was hacked or turned off. And then there was speculation about him being dead for a very brief time. And this was just after some WikiLeaks leaks regarding the Clintons, particularly Hillary. I don't know what they were about. I didn't really look into it.
The Podesta files. John Podesta is the chairman of Clinton's election organization, and they've been just it's exceedingly problematic for the Clinton campaign what these reveal. And the word on the grapevine is that current Secretary of State John Kerry threatened the president of Ecuador with, quote, dire consequences if Assange was not turned off. So this all, of course, remains to be seen if this is the actual situation or not. But
that's
what's going on.
Just to clarify,
and the leaks continue.
And just to clarify, John Podesta is who is he?
He is the head of Clinton's election organization, campaign chairman, and former chief of staff for Bill Clinton.
Okay, so I was briefly getting him mixed up with the now head of the FBI. I can't remember what his name is, but James
Comey.
That's the one. And he used to be in charge of HSBC when the massive banking fraud was going on within that company. And they're heavily invested in the Clinton Foundation. So... lots of arrows pointing everywhere in that situation, isn't there?
Oh my goodness, yes. Further word on the grapevine is that numerous FBI agents are kicking up a big fuss over Comey deciding not to indict Hillary on the email scandal.
Oh yeah, well, that's because he worked for he basically worked for the Clinton Foundation through HSBC.
Well,
and then
right.
and so he was given a pardon from the banking fraud. So he's given a pardon back to the Clintons, isn't he? Really?
It was very funny during the third debate when Trump was talking about Clinton backstage before had said, pardon me. You know, like if you become president, pardon me. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
And what is the vibe on the street, Swami, in America? Is it one of a nation in fear in either direction? Because it would appear.
Oh, right. There's a whole lot of people who are just like, I can't vote for either one of these humans, you know? And, what is interesting is the fact that, you know, when folks try to point to the WikiLeaks releases of these emails, the Clinton voters and supporters just won't pay it much mind at all. Whereas the Trump people are like, hey, can't you read? Are you not hearing about what they've been doing? They swept the legs out from under Bernie Sanders. That's why, you know, four members of the DNC resigned after that came out. And and Clinton herself is not saying that any of what was released is incorrect. Only that, oh, Russia did it. That's what they're setting up.
So can you see a situation where it comes apparent that neither are fit candidates, so their understudies will come in?
Yeah.
Because, I mean,
just amazing. It's going to be strange to see what happens, you know? I mean, yeah, just watching.
The election is going to happen, isn't it? You know, it's
well, it's scheduled to happen.
Yeah. So November 8th. Unless martial law is declared in the next 2 weeks.
Unless we go to war with Russia, which we're right on the edge of that. That's one of the stories I've got. Source has claimed that we could be at war with Russia even before the election takes place.
Yeah, there's quite a lot surrounding all this, and with Syria basically at the epicenter of all of it as well, is also particularly very scary. But I briefly saw a story today of the relatively newly elected prime minister or president of the Philippines. Who is a proper hardline dude. He says what he means.
He's called Obama the son of a whore, told him to go to hell. He's not messing around.
Whereas historically, the Philippines has been very American-centric, isn't it?
For a long time.
And like this guy has come out to say today that he's now aligning the Philippines with China and Russia, which is be quite a heavy blow to the Americans.
Well, the statement that he made in China he's backed away from that a bit and said that, you know, well, they're still going to work with the United States, but they're going to increase their closeness to China and Russia. So once upon a time, there was a lot of speculation that President Duterte from the Philippines was going to kick out and close up the U.S. forces at both Subic Bay Naval Station and Clark Air Force Base in the Philippines. But at this point, it would seem that is not what's going to happen, but Duterte is cozying up with China and Russia and just got a multi-billion dollar loan from China.
Yeah,
after his China's meeting with
China does seem to be buying up the world.
Oh, they're on a huge buying spree. Properties and stuff over here, I mean, they're just getting sold to Chinese left and right. It's enormous. There's more buying of property almost by Chinese citizens, almost more than there is American citizens, because especially like, you know, single family homes and such, the decline in their sales and new home building and such hasn't been as low as it is now for over 20 years.
And if at any point the Chinese economy fails, then that really is the world up shit street, because they build everything.
Right.
So if something like the 2008 crash happens, particularly in China, you know, that is a scary situation, really. Well, but in only in a consumeristic,
right,
like capitalist sense, you know, mindset.
Yeah,
we still have a planet that we can grow stuff on. Do you want to go into the story? Do you want me to get you a bong?
Sure.
Let's see. I haven't got it set up. Just go into the story and bong!
Headline. Thank you. Headline. Russian source claims world war could start, quote, even before U.S. elections, end quote. This article was written by Paul Joseph Watson and originally published at InfoWars. Editor's comment, this is from shtfplan.com. Editor's comment, our U.S. media teaches us to prepare for hurricanes, floods, and brief power outages, and perhaps for a few other situations. But by and large, the American leadership is deaf, dumb, and blind regarding the unprecedented buildup of war. Germany has already warned its citizens to stockpile food and prepare to survive for weeks without their current system, in large part due to the internal chaos surrounding its refugee crisis. Russia has conducted massive drills with 40 million people to prepare for the possibility of nuclear exchange. Its leaders have repeatedly warned it is being pushed to the brink. While U.S. foreign policymakers arrange new conflicts and brash clashes with global powers, its people know little to nothing about why they are fighting or who its government plans to fight next. When the lights go out and a hot war begins World War III, There will be tens of millions of Americans caught completely by surprise. The world will never be the same, and they will never know why, except what they were told to keep them compliant, afraid, and under wraps. As individuals, we can't prepare for everything, but that which we can be ready for will catch us that much less off guard. Knowing what crises may come and the limits to what one can do about it can be very empowering. Kremlin Insider has warned that war with the United States could break out even before the November elections, and is urging citizens to stockpile food and water. Sergei Markov, a member of the Civic Chamber, a Moscow-based state institution, told the Daily Beast, quote, "These are the most serious tensions between Moscow and Washington in decades. The war might begin even before the November elections in the U.S. I personally plan to stock 200 cans of pork to be ready for a potential war crisis, and I advise everyone to do the same," end quote. Markov's warning should probably be treated seriously, given that he is known to have close ties to the Kremlin. As previously reported, Russian citizens have been stockpiling food and essential supplies for months as paranoia about a major conflict escalates. Tensions have risen yet further in recent days after it was revealed the Obama White House is considering, well, not considering, they Biden came on an interview on Meet the Press and said there will be a major cyber attack against Russia in retaliation for Moscow's alleged interference in the American presidential election. While Americans are kept distracted by the media's obsession with Donald Trump's alleged mistreatment of women, Russians have very different priorities. State-owned television stations in Russia are urging citizens to find out where their nearest nuclear shelter is located, while managers of the Zenit Arena, a huge half-built stadium in St. Petersburg, recently received an official letter from the Ministry of Emergency Situations demanding they create underground facilities that will be used to protect citizens from nuclear fallout. As was reported earlier this month, 40 million Russians from all levels of government recently took part in a civil defense emergency evacuation drill that was a test run of how the population would respond to a disaster occurrence under an emergency situation. The end. So, boys and girls, if you are in Russia or the United States, it would probably be a very good idea to get some things into your house just in case. Better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it.
And this goes back to earlier comments from Merkel saying for people to have 10 days supplies.
At least. Yeah. Minimal. Yeah. And see, there's, you know, General Dunford, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, recently told Congress when he was in a hearing regarding setting up a no-fly zone in Syria, that if we did that, that would require us to target Russian aircraft, thereby assuring war. And this is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. This is what he's telling the guys who are going to decide, and gals, excuse me, whether a no-fly zone is put in place, which would then have U.S. forces targeting Assad's military and the Russian military.
Who the fuck is this guy to say that over somebody else's country that they're going to set up a no-fly zone? What the fuck is it going
to be? Oh, he doesn't want to do it. He doesn't want to do it. He understands very clearly. If we make this proclamation that there's now a no-fly zone, then we have to shoot. You know, and it's there's no backing out from that. Once the United States or anyone in the coalition hits a Russian aircraft, it's on. That's it.
If that's set up, though, sort of on the back burner, and Clinton does get in, then the shit is really going to hit the fan. Because
if she gets in, it's going to hit the fan anyway. That's their plan.
Yeah. So
that's why the big red scare is going on and being pushed so hard by Hillary Clinton. Nothing to do with the content of the leaks that have come out, just blaming Russia. Blame Russia. Putin this, Putin that. Well, here's the deal, folks. Hillary Clinton's staff and herself as Secretary of State sold controlling interest in a company called Uranium One, entitling this company to 20% of the uranium in the United States was sold to Russia. So she is, they're doing business with Russia already.
Hello.
Welcome, hello. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome, Fi and Steve.
Hello.
I'm just hearing you say that, Swami. It kind of reminds me of World War II when Churchill was still doing deals with Hitler,
right.
Whereby the oil was being, it was the oil for their submarines was going to them through. Where was it? It was going. They were.
Sweden.
No, not Sweden, but it was. They were able to get oil anyway through their, through, who was it? Was it, who's
Norway.
Who's the American guy? No, but the American guy who was part of that, not Rockefeller, no. Begins with a
Harriman.
I think.
Harriman.
Harriman,
recently.
Yes. Not recently, but in World War II, I think he was implicated in getting the oil to the Germans, because they were still doing business, weren't they, at that time?
Oh, yeah. Prescott Bush, the grandfather of George W. and father of George H.W., was threatened with treason because he was handling banking for the Nazis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So these folks all work together behind the scenes, this WikiLeaks stuff that's come out has very clearly demonstrated how the Clintons use mainstream media members to push whatever their agenda may be, up to and including the New York Times giving editor rights over what quotes go out to Hillary.
And it is very much all business, isn't it? Because like all this kind of fear mongering, especially here, we had the Russian aircraft carrier the other day that was going up.
Oh, it's still going. It hasn't yet come through the English Channel.
Right. So, in the press, honestly, there has been terrorism by press lately because it is just completely fear mongering the British people, which is an act of terror, if you ask me.
They're trying to do, all they're doing, the Russians, is moving some military equipment.
Yeah, they have to. They can't.
To Syria.
Yeah.
Where they have a base.
It any other way. Yeah. Where they
it's going to go through the English Channel, but they've not made any threats to the English.
And the funny thing is that the British have sold off so much of their naval forces and supplies and everything that they actually don't have the resources to escort that ship through, you know, and keep an eye on it. And they got rid of all the, what are those aircraft that used to do all the kind of monitoring? Pardon? No, there was the big aircraft that. Was it the Nimrods?
Yeah.
The big ones that used to kind of, you know, they can monitor kind of what.
Yeah, they have a radar dish on top of them.
From the, you know, the boats below, so that they can kind of, you know, keep an eye on what's going on. Well, they scrapped all those, got rid of those. So the British military is basically being, and we've spoken about this the other week when we were talking about how the military is basically being dismantled, rebranded, and sold now, so that people will buy the new product, which will be a European military brand. And that's what they're trying to do now. Is you know, they've sold it all off, they've devalued it. British military isn't worth anything. What you need to do now is go and join the new, all exciting EU military.
Right.
So this aircraft carrier has been, you know, making its way, and it's been all fear, fear, fear in the newspapers, which creates a climate. And like you say, you know, go and stockpile your things and be fearful. And, you know, it's coming towards Christmas, so they want people to be, not to forget to keep buying things. You've got to keep buying things. Business as usual. Come on, keep it going. You know, that's the one thing that they don't want is for people just to go, do you know what? I think I've got enough at the moment. I've stockpiled enough.
It hasn't been covered very well, but there was an exercise referred to as UX-16, which is Unconventional Warfare Exercise. And this was carried out on the heels following, Jade Helm.
Yeah.
And the whole tenor of this exercise was, if the situation were to arise where United States military members left the military and started fighting on behalf of the American people in our country.
Mm-hmm. That, which is what they should be doing.
Well, but see, they ran this drill to figure out how to get the guys who stick around to kill the guys who step off.
Yeah, yeah.
And this, I mean, this is really serious stuff. This is not goofing around. This is getting to a point where, you know, if you don't take it seriously, you may certainly be the worst for not having done something to get ready, because we are right at, I mean, we are looking each other in the eye right now, and the fists are made, you know?
Yeah. I mean, there is only so much you can do, really, right, though. Right, I mean, if you're living in a small apartment, then, you know, how many tins of soup can you keep in that apartment and toilet rolls and whatever else? You know, it's not like most people live on a ranch and have got, you know, outhouses where they can put things.
Because Agenda 21's been successful in cramming people into compact cities.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of feel like, you know, World War III has been underway for quite a long time, really. Yeah.
It just hasn't gone hot yet.
Yeah, and you know, all they have to do is kind of throw out a few more kind of terrorist stories, you know, like, oh, a package has been found here, a package has been found there, kind of thing. Because I've heard a couple of those in the British news the last couple of days, and a throw out some kind of epidemic story. You know, oh, there's an epidemic of this, an epidemic of that. people are falling like flies, get your jabs, I don't know, whatever, you know, all these kind of things. They all kind of converge and create, you know, just uber confusion and fear, essentially, then, you know.
Is that a fear of taxis, uber? Uber confusion.
is that a taxi firm, Uber?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's very big in America right now.
Oh, right. Okay.
Using Uber cars to go places, yeah.
Oh, are they the ones doing the driverless?
No, they've got drivers, of course, but, it's sort of taken the place of, you know, you once upon a time you called the taxi company, but now there's an app you can put on your smartphone for Uber, which will just get the nearest driver over to you.
Yeah.
And also, not only can you rate the driver, but the driver can rate you as a good customer.
Yeah, it's got all kinds of strange things to it. But
yeah.
There are
problems with that, though, in that, and this happens as well for things like building work, decorating, plumbing, and any of these kind of products that you do work in someone's home and then they give you a review, whereby someone who is just a little shit demands the world and tries to rip off the provider. You know what I mean? I mean, I know that Steve has had experience with a friend of yours, didn't he? Had experience of this where he did work for someone, did a great job, and then they refused to pay.
Agreed the price.
Agreed the price,
and then said it was too expensive.
Did the work, and then they refused to pay. I mean, who has the cheek to do that?
And then Donald Trump?
And then they wrote a bad review. On the review page, after they had let them off with money on this particular thing, you know, just kind of went, oh right, okay, you know, just to kind of say, right, let's just get it done and be finished with it. And then they wrote a shitty review on one of these review things. And I know people who have done Airbnb who've had the same thing, where you go out of your way to sort of help somebody, and then they write a shitty review saying, oh, they could have done this or they could have done that. And it's like, well, look at the price bracket that you're hiring in, and then
yesterday ran into a situation at a local business here in Charleston, where this woman came out of the copy shop and warned in a very angry way, don't spend your money here. He's a dick. And I was like, I don't really care what kind of mood he's in. I just need a fact sent, and I couldn't care less. Yeah. So went in there, and this guy explained, mentioned, wow, that woman was pretty upset.
What did you do? Yeah.
Well, here's what happened. And this makes a good example for how, you know, systems like Yelp and Google and that over here, that people are doing this, you know, putting up bad reviews and things on business owners. Uh-huh. She had wanted a sewing pattern enlarged to 15 inches. He explained to her, the copy machine here will only go to 11. You'll have to go to a place that can do architectural draft size to get the size you want. And this woman just would not accept that, you know, his equipment was limited to 11 inches. And then she goes, well, it could be only 12. And he goes, no. This will only make up to 11 inches. And she just got all huffy. And, you know, that's when this swami ran into her, headed out the door. And she had threatened, I'm going to write a review on Google and Yelp and you'll not get any more business. And, you know, so this is the way folks who are entirely unreasonable can negatively affect businesses.
Yeah, completely, and they're the dicks.
This sinks really well in to I don't know whether any of you have watched the new series of Black Mirror. Has just come up on Netflix, and the first the first one is basically all about what you're saying. It's like just maybe a little bit into the future where it would appear that everything there's no money. It's all about your status on this app, and everyone's trying to get to like 5 stars. You know, like on Instagram where you sort of like, or on Facebook even where you like comments, and it's all about how well you're perceived in the virtual world is how people treat you in the real world. So there's signs everywhere saying nobody below a 4 can use this aisle, or no, we don't admit anybody below a 3.8. And so it's this woman's downward spiral trying to get to a friend's wedding who... it's really, really good, really well done.
If Hillary occupies the Oval Office, she's already made the statement that the alternative media, the truth-related media, has no right to exist. So now that we've turned over control of the internet from the United States to a not the UN itself, but a coalition of countries, then you know the chance exists that this Swami and many others who are involved in alternative media will no longer be able to do what we do, and that's very real.
And yet she,
of course we will.
She purports to come from the land of the free. This is where people can make their own minds up about things. And yet she's afraid of all the, I mean, how many years have the Bible bashers been out there kind of, you know, giving it, you're all going to damnation if you don't listen to this, blah, 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 and all the weird stuff they spout on about. But, you know, and now that there's all the, within alternative media, it is completely infiltrated with so much, spin, which comes from the Hillaries of this world. And also the other end, too,
who are just, like Alex Jones and that, it's both ends.
Completely. I mean, it is all, it's so infiltrated with spin from, in every way. And, there are, you don't necessarily.
They can't take that away from themselves.
But really, you have to leave it up to people to make their own minds up. And if people get suckered in, then, buyer beware. Isn't that the business mantra? When you're buying into the truth on the internet, then buyer beware. There will be people out there who are trying to con you for a buck, or con you so that you
for your attention,
one way or the other, for your attention. Yeah, for anything. Just as the Bible bashing community,
trying to get those
very
likes.
Good people. There are very good people with good hearts and everything in amongst the religious communities, but there are also ruthless businessmen just trying to sell you something, you have to use your brain and give and
for
take
any regular
for
any regular listeners, if you are not yet familiar with Project Veritas, James O'Keefe, you should probably have a look at some of his unauthorized hidden camera stuff, where he had some conversations with a guy named Scott Foval, and I believe his name was Bob Creamer, who are the guys who are in charge of paying people to go to Trump events and start fights and damage. I mean, these guys are sitting there bragging about this stuff. Mm-hmm. Now, they are both unemployed as of this week, mm-hmm. At least not in the capacities they were after these came out. But it's just stunning to watch these guys sit and very openly talk about, you know, how they are manipulating voter laws, events, you know, causing trouble, the whole situation where Trump did an event in Phoenix, Arizona, and people got on the highway and shut it down.
Yeah.
You know, this was all put together by folks from the Hillary campaign, you know, and now it's, you know, for people who want to see what's going on at the deeper end of the pool where decisions get made, this guy was, Foval guy was talking about how that was their work that caused the Trump event in Chicago to have to be canceled, where Ayers was running around there getting on video and fights breaking out. That was their work. That's what they do. And he was quite proud of it.
Yeah, everything is manipulated. Even the people, or many of the people who purport to be telling you about how these things are manipulated, are actually manipulating you to a certain angle. You know, it's like there are different layers, aren't they? The different layers, they call it the, you know, like the net that you get caught in. You get caught in that net and you feel like you're free from that, and you know, you've found something, but you're actually just getting caught in another net, and there are many sort of layers of this. But going back to what we were saying just a few minutes ago about the people putting bad reviews up and that kind of thing. Well, really, what you need to do is if somebody puts, you know, if you do good work for somebody and then they turn around and go, I ain't going to pay you for this, even though you've agreed a price and everything. And, you know, you do your best to kind of appease them, and then they stick a bad review up, then you just got to take them to court and sue them for some kind of, you know, defamation of your good character or your business's good name sort of thing. And then they'll poo their pants and shut up, hopefully. But I think a lot of people don't want to go to that trouble. You know, it's a lot of hassle. I know someone who owns a, what we call in this country, a scaffolding company.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what you call it over there, Swami. Is it the same sort of thing where you put the planks and the metal poles up around a building so that you can go and do work quite high up around a building?
Don't know for sure, but such things do exist. I just
right,
don't
so
know
we,
what
we call it scaffolding in this country. Well, he owns a scaffolding country, put scaffolding up around the bottom areas where people walk. It's all padded so that, you know, it's safe, and warning signs there to let people know that, you know, there's a hazard going on here, tape and that kind of thing. Well, this woman goes along and walks into one of the poles and then starts serving him with a civil case for damages because she walked into a pole and she said, oh, you know, it hurt her in whatever way. And there's no way she's going to win this. And he knows this, and he has, you know, full insurance cover to cover all kind of eventualities of things that could happen, scaffolding being blown down, or, you know, really serious accidents happening. But it's just a hassle for him to have to do it all the time. And he said, you wouldn't believe the amount of people that try and kind of pull it with this kind of thing. And that he just ends up with, you know, half a dozen kind of cases of paperwork to have to go through, where stupid, dumbass idiots have walked into, a piece of scaffolding that he has got signs up on and protective coverings on, and yet they still think that they can sue him for their stupid idiot fault, and they try and do it. And all it means is paperwork for him, because he knows they're not going to win. They're not going to get anything from it. He's not even really going to get anything from it other than go away, you're an idiot. Yeah, it's just purely hassle. And so most people really don't, that, you know, when something like that comes up, they just want to go, look, okay, just go away. Just go away. So when people are putting bad reviews up, at the end of the day, I think a lot of people just want to go, oh, for God's sake, you know, right, let's just get out. But really, I think people should be, you know, having a go and saying, no, you're tarnishing the name of my good company and its good reputation. But it's whether people can be bothered going through that whole process.
But because it's published and it's sort of time stamped, you know, and
it's forever, isn't it, as well?
It's
a review.
It's if it's unfounded, though, you know, it should be, you know, because it's slanderous, that, isn't it, really? But then
yeah.
is that playing into the litigation culture by.
But sometimes it's justified, isn't it?
Making
a claim because you've walked into something which is labelled and protected to, you know, just because you're an idiot and you think that you can make a claim.
And you're walking down the street looking at your phone or your tablet.
Yeah, and you've done that. then that is just litigation culture. But where it's a case of, you know, you've agreed a price with somebody, they do the work, and then you say, I'm not going to pay that, I'm only going to pay you half, and it goes back into, and then in the end you go, all right, just give me 50% and walk away from it. And then to add insult to injury, they put a bad review on a contract.
Did they not have a contract in place
for this bit? This work was cash in hand work, so no, they didn't.
All right.
And there lies the crux of the matter. So, yeah, it was just cheap.
But then they were getting it
for a very, very good price, you know, so.
But whoever did that, that's a reputation. Because, I mean, that's like a proper contract in, like, it's a word is your bond contract. So,
To out this person
as being not of good character, maybe that's what you should have put an ad out in the paper saying, this guy don't pay, don't do any work for him.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it was a woman, actually, but
it was a guy
with the review. Oh, was it? Okay, apparently it was a guy that wrote the review. Yeah, some people are just nasty bits of work, aren't they?
And I think that power that the internet has given people, voice, however minute it may be in the scheme of things, but the ripple effects do. Go out, isn't it? You know, the internet is a massive puddle. In that you're dropping bits of information, and you don't know where that's going to go, really, do you? I've lost my train of thought. In the puddle, I lost it.
It dispersed. Like a ring, like a ripple from a stone.
Yeah.
So were you feeling the energy from Teletubby Land today?
You have to expand on that.
Nick was down by the turbines and Shoreham
Beach.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, I did a little live stream of the beach.
Oh, yeah. It was lovely, wasn't it, down there?
Yeah.
This evening.
It's an interesting added thing that they've put in this sort of live broadcasting on Facebook. Now, I don't know. Well, I mean, I suppose you could do that in YouTube, but because there's so many people that are on Facebook at any one time that. you know, the more people are potentially watching. But all this content is that's basically just Facebook's, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
So yeah. So and with the advent so
that's what you can do. There's a special thing. There's an app there or something, or the facility to just make a little mini film or something.
Yeah, the on the Facebook app. That you can download on your phone. There's, you know, all the features. I mean, you can do it on your the desktop version of Facebook as well. But there's just a little live thing there. You can just broadcast from wherever you are. I think they've added it maybe 2 or 3 months ago.
Oh yeah. Right.
So, with the advent of things like Google's DeepMind and the AI technologies, though, do you think that there is this little slip in? Have you seen Ex Machina? The inventors. When he's explaining how he gets all this information, he said that he just data mined everybody's emails and put everybody's microphones on the phones and the video to get like everybody's facial expressions as algorithms. And I could definitely see them doing that.
Oh, girl.
Yeah. Hello, AI.
Yeah.
Oh. Yep. Pre-crime.
Yeah.
The AI will figure out what you're going to do before you've made up your mind to do it.
Yeah.
So we won't have the...
Got another bong.
Okay.
Okay, go on.
Bong!
Oh,
I still haven't.
We haven't got that much time, though, have we, before the hour?
53. Okay. So we've got 7 minutes. We could have the story, and then have a tune. Unless we just
I'll
have
edit
a tune
and cut it short. This is just a funny, funny in a sad way. Headline is Universities Ban Politically Incorrect Halloween Costumes.
Yeah, I've seen that, yeah.
In a latest measure to create a safe space for students, a number of universities have issued costume protocol banning such unpolitically correct costumes as Arab turbans, feathered Indian headdresses, Japanese geisha outfits, and Caitlyn Jenner costumes. And what? They are they're providing counseling for anyone who gets triggered if they see someone in a costume that upsets them. This is how ridiculous.
That might be all of them then. isn't that the whole point of a Halloween costume, to trigger people?
Is that this in light of the clown situation?
Oh, no. Well, over here on the clown tip, the mega store Target will not be selling any clown costumes or clown makeup this year because of this clown situation.
How can you not? Yeah. But surely I'm any makeup can be made into clown.
And this sad face.
Yeah. doing a wall.
Yeah, doing what? Oh, I'm stuck. Oh no.
And then sort of hands underneath his chin sideways.
Yeah, sad. Pretending to lean on a wall, nothing to do.
Yeah.
But you know, our little new pristine snowflakes just can't handle that sort of thing. So they must be protected by such policy.
Well, I've got a good tune lined up. Not really nice. In relation to anything, just because it's a good tune, and cute. I needed one. Here is Arctic Monkeys. Do I want to know? See you after. Remember to refresh your players.
Hey.
Over. Here we go.
Color in your cheeks. Do you ever get that feel that you can't shift the tide that sticks around like summits in your teeth? Are there some aces up your sleeve? Have you no idea that you're in deep? I dreamt about you nearly every night this week. How many secrets can you keep? There's this tune I found that makes me think of you somehow, and I play it on repeat until I fall asleep, spilling drinks on my settee. Do I wanna know if this feeling flows both ways? Sort of hoping that you'd stay. You can't say tomorrow day. Crawling back to you. Never thought I'd call and run. You're out of view. Cause I always do. Maybe I'm too busy being lost to fall for surrounding you. Now I thought it through. Crawling back to you. So have you got the goods? Been wondering if your heart's still open, and if so, I wanna know what time it should simmer down and poker up. I'm sorry to interrupt, it's just I'm constantly on the cusp. I've tried been to kiss you, I don't know if you feel the same as I do, but we could be together if you wanted to. Do I wanna know if this feeling flows both ways?
Sad to see you go.
Was sort of hoping that you'd stay.
Crawling back to you.
Never thought.